Certainly good to see everybody out this morning. It was a great encouragement to be able to gather here and study with you. I had the opportunity to live our lives and to, of course, to thank our Lord for all that He has already done for us. You'll start with me, turn to Lamentations chapter 3. We'll go ahead and read a few verses from here. Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 21. It says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Reads here in verse 22, brings out the Lord's mercies. We are not consumed because His compassion fail not. His mercy and His compassion is in verse 23. Says that they're new every morning. Today's lesson is a matter of a question of who needs a second chance. Sitting there asking, do you need a second chance? I know that I would not be here without second chances, without the other opportunity to make things right, without the opportunity for forgiveness. And if you're like me and say that you've needed more than one second chance, that you've needed a few. So the question, as we look at this verse and as we're going to open up the Bible and look at other verses as we continue through the lesson, is do you need a second chance? Do you need the opportunity to make things right? Because you have failed at something? Because you have got caught up in lying? You have got caught up in sexual immoral actions? You've got caught up in disobeying your parents, the Word of God? For one reason or another, do you need another opportunity? Thing to remember, because we sit there and you may be thinking, man, do I need it? Is that you're not alone. Because everyone has at one point, or does at this time and point, or will end up needing another opportunity. Those who study the Old Testament get caught up a lot of times focusing on Sodom and Gomorrah. They focus on the flood. They focus on the times that God simply struck down immediately those who were in sin. Those who were caught up in doing wrong. What we need to remember is that if God always struck down everyone when they sinned the very first time, there wouldn't be anyone here on earth today. Because everyone needs a second chance. Everyone needs another opportunity. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, Romans chapter 3 and in verse 23, you read along with me there. As it says here, and it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Everyone has sinned and has fallen short. So if you're sitting there today and you're saying, I need it, but how can I publicly let it be known that I have done wrong? How can I go to God and ask for His forgiveness? Understand that everyone needs forgiveness. Everyone needs our Lord and Savior. All have sinned and fallen short. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, 1 John in chapter 1, and in verse 8. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So once again, as you read these verses, as it makes it plain and clear, we've all sinned. And if anyone tries to go forth and say, I have no sin, I have done no wrong, I am perfect, says you've deceived yourself. You've made up some theory in your mind, some imagination that is just out there, because we have all fallen short. And it says if we continue down that road, you are saying that God is a liar because He has declared all under sin through His word. All that fallen. But that other verse reminds us that we can't have a second chance, because it says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. The reminder is that we all need it. You're not alone. John 3 and verse 16, understanding that that Christ didn't come down to die just for you, just because you and you alone in this world needed His salvation, but that everybody needed that sacrifice. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Everybody. There's not a person that has lived, not a person that is living, that will live in the future, that don't need that sacrifice. We've all sinned and we've all fallen short. And it's a reminder for all of us who have taken that second chance, that to have saw the opportunity to be forgiven and have taken it, to remember that we had to, especially as we're trying to reach out to others, especially as we're sitting there and someone has done you wrong, someone has sinned against you, that we needed a second chance at one point or another. And therefore, as we approach our brother who has sinned against you, we do it so that they will turn and that we can forgive them and that they will go to God and He will truly forgive their sins. Because everyone needs it. 2 Peter 3 and verse 19 again. Here it says, the Lord is long-suffering, patient, not willing that any should suffer, but that all should come to repentance. Everyone, at one point or another, needed to turn to the Lord. For there are those who are still delaying and not doing so. As this verse brings out, it brings out that there is a timely matter on the Lord. We don't know whether or not today or tomorrow, whether or not when we will face judgment of our Lord. So we need to examine our lives today to make sure it is right. As we consider those who needed second chances and trying to figure out whether or not you yourself can truly ask for. Reminder that a lot of men of faith that we read about through the Word of God needed a second chance, needed another opportunity to make things right. In Genesis chapter 17, we look at Abraham and Sarah here with me. Often we remember that Sarah had done this. We need to understand that Abraham did it before her. Is that they laughed at God when God told them what He was going to do. When God told them of the plan that was going to take place, that they didn't have that faith at that time and point, that understanding of what God was going to do for them, and they laughed at it. Here in Genesis 17, and verse 17, it says, "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart." Not that he was just joking about it. It says he said it in his heart. This is what he truly felt. He thought this was just nonsense. "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" He laughed at the Lord's plan. And in chapter 18 and in verse 12, Sarah does the same thing. It says, "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being also old?" And of course, they tried to take it into their own hands. They decided, "We'll help the Lord out," when the Lord said Sarah would bear him a child. And it would be Abraham's. Once again, they had fallen short. They had lacked the faith in laughing at God. And then they had lacked the faith and decided to take it into their own hands and did what they thought was right in their own minds. God didn't strike them down then and there. God did fulfill his promise. God continued to allow them to raise Isaac. They had another opportunity to live faithfully to God. When we turn to Hebrews 11, we can read about Abraham and Sarah of being people of faith. We turn to Numbers chapter 20. In Numbers chapter 20, we read about Moses. Numbers 20, and you read along with me here in verse 7. As it reads along and says here, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give a drink to the congregation and their animals." So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock and said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted his hand, struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly. And the congregation and their animals drank. Moses did not heed the words of the Lord. And as you continue to study the situation, they end up being punished. Moses is not allowed to enter into the promised land. He's not allowed to enter into Canaan with the rest of the children of Israel. And you might sit there and say, well, he didn't get a second chance then, because he didn't get to enter into the land with the rest of the children of Israel. But know that Moses continued to lead the children of Israel in the wilderness. Moses prepared the children of Israel, prepared Joshua and Caleb to lead them as he had to stay behind. And if you recall, as the Lord was up in the mountain, who he ends up going and speaking to is Moses and Elijah. I'm telling you now, if Moses wasn't in a better place, then Moses wouldn't have been the person the Lord would have been speaking to. He had a second chance. And as we see him lead the children of Israel after this point, he continues in a faithful manner in leading them in the right direction and preparing them not to disobey our Lord, our God. Moses had to have a second chance. David had to have a second chance. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, here is after he had already committed adultery with Bathsheba and had already murdered her husband. You read here as he's being approached. You get to 2 Samuel in the first Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 13. Supposed to be chapter 12. I got the wrong chapter up there. Chapter 12 and verse 13. It says, "So David said to Nathan, 'I have sinned against the Lord.' And Nathan said to David, 'The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die.'" Now, once again, as you read further in verse 14, it says, "However, because of this deed, you have given great occasion to enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also who is born to you shall surely die." There was still punishment that had to come upon that he had to face consequences of. Just as Moses had to continue to face the consequence and not enter into the land of Canaan and to get to live the last of his days there. Consequences that you may have to face. That if you got caught up in lying, you have to tell the truth and deal with people not fully trusting you for a while. You have to build up that trust once more. That if you got caught up in adultery, fornication, there are consequences to that. That if you got caught up in theft, that you return whatever it is you stole, and you may have to pay a fine. You may have to spend time in prison. You may have to do these things. But you can still have a second chance with our God. That your sins can be forgiven. Jonah, who fled the Lord. Jonah, who did not want to keep the command of God, did not want to go and preach in Nineveh. He was given a second chance, though. As you read here in chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "When my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you. With the voice of thanksgiving, I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. And in chapter 3 and verse 1 it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time," saying, the second time. At first he rejected what the Lord had told him to do, and he fled and tried to go elsewhere, tried to hide. And as he come to the conclusion that it wasn't going to work out, he recalled the Lord's mercy and says, "I will give thanksgiving with my mouth to the Lord." And so the Lord gives him a second chance and once again tells him to go and prophesy to those in him. He's been given a second chance. Just as is any who are here today that have not obeyed the gospel, who have not given themselves to God, who has studied the word, who has heard the word preached, who has studied at home, who has heard others teach him and know what he has done for him and yet has given to him. God has given you another chance today to give your life over. To come to him and ask for forgiveness. To allow him to add you into his kingdom. Then you have the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 9, Acts chapter 26, and you read along with me here in verse 9. Read what Paul was doing here. It says, "Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and in many of the saints I shut up the prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. This is what Paul was caught up in doing. He said, I did many things to those who called Christians, to the saints, to followers of Christ. He said, I gained permission to go to other cities. I filled up the prisons completely with them. I made them blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And if they were put up to death, I casted my vote against them. That's what Paul's got to do. And yet on the road to Damascus, he was given a second chance. He was given the opportunity to turn the other way. To instead of throwing people in prison, to being one who gets thrown into prison for preaching Christ and His resurrection. Now, as you consider what it is you need a second chance for, these are just a few examples. But I ask you, are they any greater than the second chances they needed? To laughing at God and mocking His word. To completely rejecting what He has told you to do in front of the congregation, as Moses did. To adultery, murder. To causing other brethren to blaspheme the word of God, blaspheme our Lord and Savior. And yet all these men and women had the opportunity to make their lives right with God. And that is because God gives second chances. He is ready to give you another opportunity today to make your life right with Him. If you're just willing to come to Him. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, this is His new covenant. This is what He has wanted to do is to forgive us, to forgive you. As it reads here, it says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. This is His new covenant. This is why He sent His Son down to die for you, so that you can have a second chance. So that you can become whole once more. Another example in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, once again, you sit there and you know what it is you have done. It may be just you alone and God that know the sins that you have committed. But listen to what we read here. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And in verse 11 it says, and such were some of you. The brethren in Corinth were caught up in these sins. Once again, if there was no second chance, no second opportunity, they would have no hope. But it says here, it says, and such were some of you. But you were washed. And you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. These men and women have been saved. They had changed their ways. They had turned from sin. And they gave themselves over to the Lord, to our God. And God washed away their sins. They had a second chance. They took it. And as Paul writes to them, of course, he's encouraging them to continue in that right path. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Just before the verses that we're going to read here, and starting in verse 21, if you go back to verse 15, it's talking about when a brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. If he hears you, then you gain a brother back. So he's talking about forgiveness already. He's talking about going and approaching your brother to help them to come back and to be saved, to receive that second chance. And sometimes we might get caught up in saying, well, how many chances do we actually get? You read here, verse 21. It says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Understand the Lord's not given an exact amount of how many times he was actually supposed to keep track of that he had forgiven somebody. But simply, as long as there's opportunity for someone to make things right, we give them the opportunity to make things right. That as long as you have breath in your lungs, that as long as you are alive and understand right from wrong, and you can speak to your Lord, you have the opportunity to be forgiven. He doesn't say you only get seven chances. He doesn't say you only get two chances. As long as the sun keeps rising and you keep waking up, you have the opportunity to make your life right with God, which means you have the opportunity today to make your life right with God. And so we extend the Lord's invitation this morning, right now, to accept that gift that God has blessed you with. To receive salvation, to come forward, to confess your faith, to be baptized, and to wash away your sins. The second chance ain't just for those who haven't obeyed the gospel, for those who have already obeyed and may have fallen back into the world, fallen away from the grace of God. He's blessed you with another opportunity to return back to Him also, to ask for forgiveness, to ask for His strength, to help you to keep on fighting, to overcome the temptation that go around. So if there's anything we can do for you, as He's blessed you with this opportunity, will you let it be known as we stand and sing?
To Canaan's land I long.